Welcome. We've had a message thus far today about a mother's love, a mother's comfort that she provides. And we drew a comparison with the way that the Lord gives comfort unto His children. Here at this message, we want to do just a little bit different, still keeping the theme of our mothers. We want to talk just a little bit for a fact about how that a mother's love and concern, and what a mother expects out of her children, or a grandmother, as many grandmothers raise their children and are raising their children, and so much more than maybe in prior days gone by, but also how that a church has the response, the feelings, the care, the concern, the expectations that they have of the other members within that body of believers. We do believe the church is a called assembly of baptized believers, established by the Lord Jesus Christ, those early apostles. Then as that church grew and preaching the truths of Almighty God, and we believe that church continued on from the time of Jesus Christ to the present day. Jesus said, "I'll build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And they'll still be preaching the same truths, following the same precepts that Jesus left forth there with His disciples. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we take time to turn our Bible. As you return our Bible, 2 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 13. But let's take time to pray before we do so. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we thank You, Lord, we have come into Your house. We ask You, Lord, just to bless here today, bless the services. We think about, Lord, those many that are in dire need today, Lord. Those who are having special difficulties, special problems. Lord, there are those who are having very serious health problems. Think about those in the nursing home, Lord. Our heart goes out to them, to their families, as it can't be with them. But we think about those that have had operations or having operations. Those that are going to tests and having tests even during this week. Lord, we pray for them. Those on our prayer list, Lord, unspoken requests. Lord, there's a lot of things on people's hearts. We got members of our church that I know, Lord, that are dealing with some big things, the big issues in life. And Lord, they're looking for guidance. They're seeking guidance. And Lord, they're praying that Your will come about, Lord, that what their desire, Lord, that they want to do, Lord, will be in accordance with Thy will. And Lord, we just thank You for our people. Thank You, Lord, for them and their desire and their willingness to continue on to minister and to carry on the ministries, Lord, that we have upon our heart, and making some adjustments and making some changes. But still yet, Lord, going forth doing Your work, awaiting that day that we'll be back in the house of the Lord. Lord, we just ask You now to bless the people, bless me, bless them, put Your hand upon this virus, put a stay to it, Lord. We may be getting somewhat back to normalcy. But until then, Lord, we continue to preach the Word. And Lord, the Word's going forth like never before. We thank You for that. Bless now, help me, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Bless the people. In Jesus' name again we ask. Amen. Give me like to ask you to turn to the Bible to 2 John chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 13. Several verses of Scripture, but certainly not a real lengthy reading. Let's go ahead and take time here to read. "The elder and the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth." Let me say this. Many have debated upon whom this letter is written to. Some believe that it's written to a special Christian lady, like the letters we have written to Timothy, the letter we have written to Titus. Others think it may be a letter that is written to a particular church under the guise of being called an elect lady, because of persecution. But as I take time to read this, and I'm going to preach it here today in just the same way. Whether it be that this letter is written to a particular lady, and the things that are spoken and talking about a godly Christian mother and the expectations that she has for her family and her loved ones, and also, what a church, the expectations the church has for the membership, the other members. I'm not talking about what the pastor expects, what the pastor desires, but what the assembly, the body of believers, the church is a local called out assembly of baptized believers. And as that body, that particular body, as the desires that it has for the other members of that body. And the Bible speaks much about the that each one of us are part of a body. We're the eye, our ear, and our nose. We've all got our function. We've all got our place in that body. And we're to work, encourage, support one another. That each individual could do what they're called upon to do within that body. That body could reach the fullest potential that God has for us to do. So I pray this message will be maybe a little bit different, but it's also will be a message that you can relate to today. 2 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 13. And again, we're going to come from this, from the side of, this is a precious Christian lady. And the things that we think about, the things that she would desire or want for the church that she's a part of, for her family. And then we're going to look at it as a letter that's written to a church and what we as individual church members would want for the individual members of that particular church that we're a part of. Let's read. The elder to the elect lady and her children whom I love the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with you forever. Grace be in you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, and truth and love. What an introduction. What a way to start this book. And then we see my Bible's got a little heading over. It says, counsel and warnings. Let's read. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as they have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to thee, but that which we heard from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This commandment, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and he's a deceiver and antichrist. Look yourselves that we lose not those things that we have wrought, but we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrines of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Have many things to write to you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face, that a joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. So again, many have debated of whom this letter is written, some to a special Christian lady, commending her, advising her of what she should be expecting, or what she is expecting, or what she is doing or having accomplished, what she wants to have accomplished in her life and her family. Like the letters to Timothy or Titus, others believe it's just to a particular church under the guise of elect lady because of persecution. But make no mistake about this. It's what we do know 100% fact of. This book, the Bible, God's words for us, it's our unchanging authority for faith and practice. For those of Faith Baptist Church, it's got your packet this week. The Sunday school lesson has been about the Bible for the last 2 weeks. And that's a quote out of the lesson. The Bible is our unchanging authority for faith and practice. So we take this Bible personally. When we say that Paul wrote to Timothy or Paul wrote to Titus, or how we read that John is written to the elect lady, whether that be a personal individual of a church or a church in particular, as the letters to Ephesians and Galatians was written to particular churches, Galatia, we say that that Bible is for us. It was those words that was written to those churches. The Bible, the words was written by these men. 2 Peter 1:21, this book not brought about by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This word's for us today. Regardless of who it was intended to at the beginning, as these men wrote these letters, God directed their thoughts and God saved those letters, saved that word, and it become part of our Bible. And it's for us today. Furthermore, as we look into the passage of Scripture for today, the care of a godly Christian mother for her family is mirrored in the way a church, a called out assembly of baptized believers, cares for one another. Quite like we preached as we talked about the care of a mother, the comfort of a mother, as we think about the care of the Lord, how they mirror one another. Though we do understand that the care of the Lord is so much higher and greater and above. But we see here today this mirroring of a godly mother for her family in the same way that a church has a concern for the assembly of baptized believers that they're a part of. Their care one for another. And that's just the way the message is going to be presented today. The parallels between a godly Christian mother and a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take time and look, pick up in verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth as we have received commandment from the Father. A godly mother wants her children to walk in truth. Not only truth to be truthful in our daily walk of life. My mother was very strong about a person telling the truth. My great uncle used to say that his father, which would be my great granddad, used to say, tell his boys, said, boys, tell the truth if it hangs your dad. In other words, always be truthful. My grandfather would say oftentimes, somebody was supposed to meet somebody, said, we're going to meet you at 10 o'clock. And if my grandfather was not able to make that, he would make every effort to be early. But if he happened to be late, he would always say, I lied to you. I told you I'd be here at 10, I lied. I need to apologize for that. And people say, oh, that don't make no difference. But they didn't understand that my grandfather, if he said that he was going to do something and he didn't do it, he considered that to be a lie. And he also held other people that same expectation. Sometimes people would say, I changed my mind in trading. They'd say, I'll make this trade with you. And he'd say, okay, that's a trade. We'll do that. A little bit later, they may come back or maybe the next day and say, well, I changed my mind. My grandfather would say, no, you didn't change your mind. You lied about that. So I was kind of brought up. Wasn't kind, I was brought up that you need to tell the truth. It's not maybe so important in our day and time because nobody seems like that people bend the truth and twist the truth any way they want it to fit their own needs. People are not seem like they're not accountable for anything. What they do, say, nobody's held accountable. My mother, she raised me up. My mom certainly would not let me get by with that. She was a stickler for truth. And she would point out people that was untruthful. Now listen, people, or nobody's perfect. But to be a person that's branded a liar, an untruthful person, is a pretty serious charge that people couldn't trust you. So again, a Christian godly mother would want the people she loved, her family, her loved ones, she'd want them to walk in truth and be truthful. And so much more particularly as it comes to the truths of God. A mother would want her children to know the truth. There's a lot of error, there's a lot of false doctrine, there's a lot of false belief that is out there in our world today. And I would say that there's never ever been a time in modern history or past history, there's never been a time because there's never been the capabilities that we have today of getting the gospel message out on the internet, the way that it's spreading and the way it's going throughout all over the land. Nations all over the world, the gospel message is going forth. Never been a time. Along with the truth, the gospel according to the Scriptures, there's a lot of untruth. We need to praise the truth is preached, that people be accepted acceptable to the truth. Which the same way as the church. Not only would a mother want her children to know the truth and speak the truth and just everyday walk of life, but they'd certainly want their children to know the truth, what thus saith the Word of God. And it starts with salvation. And salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's where it starts. And certainly a Christian mother would want her family to know the truth. A church, as a member of the Lord's church, don't you want the other members of your church that you're a part of a local called out assembly, wouldn't you want them all to be together in truth? That you wouldn't have the Sunday school teacher believing this, and a deacon believing this, and the preacher believing this, and evangelist who come in preaching something else. We hear it often. But because we hear something often enough, it is said our mind kind of starts accepting it to be true. But it's not true when people say, well, just as long as they go somewhere, that's better than nothing. Listen, if a person is not listening to truth, the true way of heaven, what could be more damaging than a person would believe a false doctrine and go to a place called hell? So again, we said godly Christian mother, and as a member of the Lord's church, both would want the ones they love to walk in truth and have truth. In verse 5, what do we read? Now beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Would not a Christian mother want her family to love one another? Doesn't a mother spend a lot of time wanting the kids to reconcile, his children to get along, to quit their bickering, quit their fighting? And as you get older, doesn't a mother want her children to love and care one for another? Well, sure they do. And I'll tell you this, children want moms and dads to love one another. And they want to see mom and dad love one another and care one for another. That's where they learn about love. But it's not also a church, as a member of the church. Don't you want the church that you're a part of for people to love one another? You know, sometimes people say, well, we're not as close as we used to be. Things not like they used to be. We're not as concerned. Don't seem like we're as caring or loving as we used to be. You know, when a person says that, they ought to examine themselves. Sometimes people think, well, maybe me and the Lord are not close as we used to be. Well, you know, the Lord's not moved. And sometimes the church does have problems of dissensions within the church body. But there are always going to be those that stay true. And they will be kind and they will be loving. And what we need to do is to gravitate toward them and pray for those that be of a more negative spirit or a spirit of bitterness within them and a root of bitterness springing up within them. That we can have love one for another within the body of believers. We need truth and we need love. And they need to go hand in hand if a church is going to flourish. If a family is going to flourish, there needs to be truth, there needs to be love for that family to flourish. And that mother wants that, and as a member of the Lord's church, we want that in the church that we're a part of. And it's important that we love one another. In verse 6, a godly Christian member in a church as a whole, and this is love, we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. We need to walk and obey the commands of God. As a Christian mother, you want your children to obey not only you, but you want your children to obey what thus saith the Word of God. As my mother gave me direction, it wasn't for me to debate. It was not up for question. It was not up for compromise. When my mother gave me something that she wanted me to do, that was said and that was to be accomplished. Now, I always didn't follow through with that, but I'd have to suffer the consequences of that. The same way it is with the Lord. As a church, we want the members of the church that we're a part of to obey the commands of God. Because as a body, when one gets out of the will of God, gets away from the commandments of God, the Bible says that the whole body suffers. You can take a hammer and hit your little finger and then your little finger, and that puts your whole body out of sync. The same way it is when the devil puts a hammer of sin comes down upon a child of God and makes the whole body hurt if that sin's not repented of and taken care of. So godly Christian mother in a church, they want the ones they love to obey the commands of God. And the Bible says the commands of God are not grievous. We need to remember that. Then in verse 7, what do we read? For many deceivers are entered the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and antichrist. Listen, the godly Christian mother warns her children about those that are deceptive and try to hurt them and harm them, especially in the day and the time we live in. Sometimes I wonder if we do not temper, if we do not temper our caution and teaching our children to beware of those that are preying upon them or stalking after them or trying to hurt them, whether to come upon them in a sexual manner or a physical manner, hurt them or sexually, or prey upon them about try to get them started in a life of drugs or maybe a life of stealing, robbery. There's a lot of things that those are that have ill intentions for your family. And a mother spends a lot of time telling her children, beware of those that try to deceive you. Don't take everything for face value. All that glitters is not gold. That's the same way in a church. Within a church body, we want the other members of that church to be careful of those that preach false doctrine, preach false truth, those that deny the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got to beware of that. And we want our people we love to not be deceived. In verse 8, look yourselves that we lose not those things that we have wrought, that we receive a full reward. I was taught at an early age from my grandfather, he spoke about it, he said, it's not how much that you make, it's how much that you save. It's not enough. It's not enough what you receive or what you get, but you can throw it out the back door quick as you bring it in the front. You understand what is being said. There's things we need to hang on to that are true and good and right. Don't lose those things that remain. We read in the book of Revelation in one of the churches. It says hang on to those things and take stock of those things. That you lose not the reward. How that our godly mother wants us to be faithful and to remain faithful that we can retain those things that are good things. Just as in a body of believers, we want what? We want our brothers and sisters to remain faithful. Not just for the good of the church, for the whole body, but for that person in particular. For them and their families, they remain faithful. God blesses faithfulness. So many people can't be faithful to anything. Why would you be so faithful and dedicated to a job, to a profession, to a sports team, even to watching a program on TV or a show? Why would you be so faithful to that and then neglect being faithful to the things of God? It won't work for you. It won't work for us. It won't work for a family. It won't work for a church. As members in particular, members of a family. In verse 9 and 11, without taking time to read, as we go on, be careful of those you take into your confidence. A mother would want her family to be careful. Those people that you take into your confidence, those that become your bosom buddy, so to speak, those you declare to be your true friend. Because the Bible says they'll come be an angel of light. But they're not an angel of light. They're the devil in disguise. Be careful of those you take into your confidence. You know, sometimes you can't take into people into confidence. You can't share with them. You can't talk to them. You can't say things to them. Because they twist that. And they pervert that. And they make a mess of everything you said. You can have no confidence in that person. It's hard to not have confidence. A mother certainly tries to train and teach her children. But beware of those you take into your confidence. As a church member, as a pastor, as a church member, concerning the body, how about a church member? Certainly we want those that we love. We can see things and with the way things are and in the openness of Facebook and the openness of our society. So as we see those we love taking other people in our confidence, that we can see and we may know things about those people. And we realize what a terrible place and what a terrible place they're headed for and where they're going through. I'm not saying we don't befriend people, but beware of those you take into your closest confidence. In verse 12, what do we read? Having many things to write to you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. Listen, a godly Christian mother, she wants to see her family. Within a body of believers, people want to see each other. We can't and have not been having in-house services. But just the pleasure that we get in parking out in the parking lot and rolling the windows down as we pass, as we leave, and being able to wave, or as we pull in and have the windows down as the weather's been pretty sometimes, some of the days. And people roll their window down and wave over to their neighbor or over this parked beside them or across the road parked over there. And be able to just see those people face to face. What's so great about what people like now, they use a FaceTime. Why is that such a joy? FaceTime is such a joy because they can see each other face to face. Moms like to see their children face to face. The Lord likes to see. And one day we'll see us face to face. Church members like to see another one, each other face to face. In verse 13, the children of thy elect sister greet thee, amen. Fellowship. Love needs to extend beyond our immediate family and no more. Love needs to extend beyond us four no more. As our mothers love and want the very best, they want the fellowship. They want to be together and have that togetherness with their children. And they want their children to be together. Moms delight in reunions and special days and special get-togethers. And it's hard. We're not able to experience that just of late. It's very hard. But one day it's going to be a grand reunion in heaven. All that will be taken care of. But you know what? A church wants to see each member too. A church wants to see the members of the church. They want to see them as they can gather together and fellowship and converse with and talk to. And to build up each other up in the most holy faith as we have that opportunity to gather together. And for those that cannot gather with us, we can call them. We can pray with them on the phone. We can speak to them. We can write them a letter. We can drop by and see them when time's available. And you always want to be careful to say the social distancing, lest somebody would say something bad about us. We are very conscious of taking care of and being concerned about other people. But you don't have to isolate yourself away in a cave. As things are opening up, there'll be opportunity. We can see people. Maybe not the hug, the handshake that we have been before, but that's going to come to a close soon anyway. We'll be able to do that again before long. Prayfully, we will. But we can have a face-to-face conversation with people and let them know we love them and our fellowship is strong. I pray that the thoughts we've had may be kind of rambling along here today. I pray these thoughts have been a help and a blessing to you. Heavenly Father, just bless here today. Again, thank you, Lord, for the time we've had, the things we've said. Lord, may it be a help and encouragement. As we think about, Lord, our family, especially as a mother, what they desire, what they want, and maybe they went on. And maybe we keep their desire and their wants, keep those things going forward. And certainly as a church, as a member of a church, what we desire, what we want within our body of believers. And over and over, we've got to be careful. Sometimes what we want in others, we're not willing to have that within ourselves. Help us to see that, Lord. Make those adjustments, to repent if be necessary, and to be, Lord, what you'd have us to be, so we can be what we'd like to be, and what others have been for us in the past, and what we can do for others right now in the present. Help us here today, Lord. Forgive us sin. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, namely our great salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.